Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, Tuesday, a time to celebrate. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We got a lead today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Dak Prescott has a big, juicy new contract. I think it's worth discussing.
Well, we've talked about the speculation of it for 2 years. I can't. I don't know what the feeling of relief, happy for him and then for us. And like, I no longer have to talk about what Dak Prescott's going to make, at least for a while.
It's almost like a couple dates forever. And it's like, would you just give her a ring and set a wedding date?
That is what it felt like. It was like, you know what? Good for him. Finally, he asked.
It's like we can stop talking about when they're going to get married. They got married.
That is a perfect analogy for
that. So let's start. You know, I like to think of myself as Mr. Optimism at the network. So I want to start being positive on the Dak Prescott deal. Number one, the Cowboys are uniquely wealthy. Attendance, best in the NFL, franchise worth almost $6 billion. They are able to, because of their game day revenues, because of their enormous brand appeal, to write massive guaranteed money checks that a third of the league can't write. Hell, it may be half. And because they can do that, and it's such a healthy brand, they gave Dak a boatload of guaranteed money, and that brought his cap down to only $22 million first year, meaning Dallas gets, in the first of these 4 years, a little bit of a cap break. That's good news. That means they can spend it on defense, and they should spend every penny of it on defense. The other good news is they've got two or three good draft picks. If they spend that $15 million on defense and they draft with their first two or three picks defense with the addition of Dan Quinn, who I think is going to elevate their scheme defensively, Dallas isn't going to have to win every game 37-34. I think their defense is going to be better. I think they save in year one a little bit of cap space they can spend on defense. Here's more positives. Dak's a grown-up. Dak's responsible. He's not going to, you know, go crazy town. He's a grown-up. He's an adult. This money's not going to do. You're not going to see him on 4,000 commercials. Dak's a head down, play hard, let's kick butt guy. Also, the story's over. Dak feels good. Cowboys have to feel somewhat good. And we don't have to talk about it anymore. Here's more positives. Dak's in the second year with Mike McCarthy, and he gets a preseason. Generally, year two of an offense, you're better. Here's another positive spin. The best part of Dallas, the very strongest unit's wide receiver. They're good at wide receiver. That complements Dak, and the NFL's becoming more passing-centric. All positives from Mr. Optimism at Fox Sports, Colin Cowherd. Now let's pivot into some realistic concerns. I saw this headline this morning. Dak Prescott becomes highest paid player in league history. That is not a recipe for Super Bowls. We have a recipe for Super Bowls. Young quarterbacks on rookie deals and great quarterbacks on team-friendly deals. Good quarterbacks making great money does not win Super Bowls. Tom Brady's already restructuring his deal again. Now people say, well, the cap's going up. Folks, the cap goes up last 25 years. It's gone up 24 times. I talked to two general managers this morning. There'll be no time over the next 4 years. It'll go up, but it's called escalators. When networks sign these big deals and you see in the blogs and the media critics, Fox goes from paying $1 billion a year to $2 billion a year. That's not what we pay for the next 2 or 3 years. They're called escalators. We go from paying one to 1.3 to 1.5 to 1.7. But the time the cap really explodes, this contract's over. Dak's working on the next contract. So, yeah, it's going up. But it doesn't jump up overnight. And I have this theory, is that don't compare good and great. Like, I never have had a vacation in my life that a great vacation. I went to Hawaii. I took the kids. We did helicopter tours. We did scuba dive. It was a lot of money. Oh, it was a lot. Oh. But when I flew back, I was like, worth every penny. I paid my daughter to go to in Connecticut to go to a junior high private school. I'm not going to tell you what I paid, but it was a great school. I've never once regretted paying great for great. House, education, experience, ski trip, never once. Paying great for good, I almost always regret it. Dak's good. Mahomes is great. I would never have a problem paying Rodgers, Russell, Mahomes, great money. Because great is a different galaxy than good. There's never going to be a time in our lifetime, even if the economy goes up, 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 that paying $10 million for a good house is a steal. Dak's contract is never in the next 4 years going to feel like, whoo, we stole him. Man, this is team friendly. The Cowboys right now have seven players who are good, and they pay them great. That's not good. You also have a coach who's a GM who's 70-80 is your owner. I don't love it. I can be happy for the guy and not think it helps him to win playoff games. Maybe that's not the biggest thing for him, but Dak always feels like a winner to me. He's like Lamar Jackson. He's visibly angry when he walks off the field with an L. Some guys are into the money. Dak makes good money. I've never felt he's a money guy. And I don't begrudge anybody who wants to make theirs. But Dallas has one playoff win when they were paying Dak $600,000. A year from now, they're paying him $39.5 million. That is hard. I don't care how much the cap goes up, and it's not going to go up that much. It is hard to win. We have a resume and a recipe. Rookie contracts for quarterbacks and great guys taking pay cuts. So I gave you positive Uncle Colin, and now I give you realistic Uncle Colin. Dallas now has five players paid in the top five in their position. I don't think any of them are in the top five as talent. I don't love it. All right, now let's focus on Jerry Jones. So we talked about Dak. Let's focus on Jerry Jones. And I saw this last night. This was one of the things I kind of, you know, when this stuff happens, I kind of like to just kind of, you know, fish around the interweb and see what people are thinking. I got a lot of this. Oh, Jerry. Very cunning. He has insight to these new TV deals. And he knows that this is just going to be no problem. Well, Jerry's owned the team for 32 years. He's had insight to TV deals the whole time. In 32 years, the Cowboys have been great once when Jimmy Johnson called the shots for football. They've never been great since. This idea that Jerry Jones suddenly has this keen insight to the new TV deals. Well, he had keen insight to the last TV deals. Jerry's one of the most powerful guys in American sports. Did it help him? Did it create a deep, efficient, talented roster with no holes? We got to slow down. I got nothing against Jerry. But Jerry's a deal maker. He's a deal maker. He loves the rush of the deal. I get it. I mean, anytime you make a big purchase or I've signed a deal, you get that 48-hour rush. And by the way, I don't think it's coincidental. Nothing happening in sports. NBA All-Star game for 2 days, and Jerry owns it. Jerry loves the big deal. Don't think he does? When he signed Amari Cooper, at that moment, he was the highest-paid wide receiver ever. When he signed Zeke, he was the highest-paid running back ever. When he signed DeMarcus Lawrence, he was the highest-paid defensive lineman ever. When he signed Zach Martin, he was the highest paid guard ever. When he signed Tyron Smith, he was the highest paid offensive tackle ever. Jerry loves basking in that. It's a flex for a billionaire for a couple days. But since the last time they won a Super Bowl, Dallas has just 4 playoff wins. That ranks 13th in the NFC. Okay. So some of it, we concentrated yesterday on Dak. But this deal was also signed by Jerry. And this is like the 6th player who was signed by Jerry who became the highest paid player at his position. Let me ask you today, you love any of those contracts? Jalen Smith, Zach Martin, I can kind of live with, but do you like any of them? This franchise has been great once briefly. Jimmy Johnson called all the football shots. Last night, Stephen Jones, I'm told, son of Jerry, made multiple calls to Dallas media to sell this new contract. Dak crushed and rolled Jerry. He got everything. He got the money. He got the no franchise tag. He got the trade clause. Hell, might as well have signed it 2 years ago. It'd be one thing if the contract came out and it was like, well, Dak got some money, but a lot of it is based on incentives. Well, he got some guaranteed money, but he had to sign for a 5th year. Well, they can franchise. Dak got everything. Dak got everything. You couldn't have signed that a year ago? 2 years ago? You know what it felt like to me? Jerry just wanted to make a big deal and wanted to own American television. Yes and yes. But if you're going to give Dak everything, you should just have signed him years ago. Well, what are we sitting around for?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you like Dak or not, and he is a franchise quarterback, Dak fans tend to move the goalpost a little bit. And you got to be honest about this. If you love this contract, then you love Dak. You got to be honest and own this. So Dak, last 2 years, is 1-8 against playoff teams. In his last 60 starts, he's 32-28. So the first few years, when Dak was winning, the Cowboys were winning, but he wasn't leading the team, I was lectured. Hey, it's about winning. It's not about stats. Dak's a winner. All right, I can buy that. And now that he's not beating good teams, hey, look how productive he is. Well, which one do you want? At $40 million a year, I want both. I want you to be super productive because that means my wide receivers, my running back, we can win shootouts. You keep moving the goalpost. There's this dueling narrative. Dak is now more efficient. He's more productive. Okay, where are the wins? I'm asking, which one do you think's important? Because when he won early, but it was Zeke's team, you kept telling me he's a winner. That's what matters. All right. And now he's not winning, but his stats are better. And you're telling me that matters. In his last 17 starts, he's 6-11. Well, it's not his fault. Well, then he can't get all the credit for the wins. Dak's also 28. I don't think he's an ascending player. I think this is what he is. He's a good quarterback. Matt Ryan's not an ascending player. Jared Goff's not an ascending player. Like after 4 or 5 years in the league, Kyler Murray, I don't even know what his ceiling is. I mean, he could play. Justin Herbert, Joey Burrow, I have no idea what their ceiling is. Baker Mayfield, he's not an ascending player. This is kind of what he is. So I guess my point is, you got to tell me what matters. Okay? To me, at $40 million, I'd like both. I want you to be productive, meaning I can win shootouts. You're making my receivers happy. You're taking advantage of the offensive line, giving you time. We can have a bad Sunday on defense, and you're productive as hell, and you can light it up. That's Mahomes. But I also, at $40 million, want wins over playoff teams. And I just don't see them last 2 years. As the team has become more Dak-led, they win less against good teams. So you can like Dak, but there's a little hypocrisy on the, you just tell me which one matters. Because, listen, I've said this before. The only numbers that matter on Michael Jordan are six. That's the only stat I know about Michael. Six. Six finals, six wins, six MVPs. I couldn't tell you one Tom Brady stat, one Joe Montana stat. Not one. I couldn't tell you one Russell Wilson stat. I can just tell you the Super Bowls. So to me, it's a winning thing. And I think the first argument you had with Dak is he's a winner. I started acknowledging, yeah, he is. There's certain leadership intangibles. He played well late in games as a young player. I was like, I can't buy it. But then when he doesn't win, it's like, look at the stats. Well, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins' stats are unbelievable. They don't mean anything to me. He shrinks in prime time. So just if you're a Dak fan, you got to at least own that space a little.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Like, as a fan, if players got rich or not, I never cared. You know, I'm never going to meet a player. So I never cared. If guys get rich, fine. I don't care. For me, what I always want my team to have is flexibility. The Patrick Mahomes deal gives Kansas City all sorts of flexibility. They don't pay him huge money until about 5 years from now. And that's the moment the cap's going to double from what it is now because the gambling money and the new contract money comes in. So Dak's contract, 75% of it, year two, three, and four, the cap's not going to go up that much. He's $40 million is going to be a lot of money for a quarterback. But it's interesting. I can think, Twitter doesn't allow this, but you can have a brain big enough to think two things at once. My first thought was yesterday, good for Dak. My second thought was, it's going to make him harder to win Super Bowls because we have sort of a recipe for it. The reason Baker Mayfield's got such great weapons around him, they don't pay him anything yet. The reason Lamar Jackson, good God, that roster's loaded. I mean, if you look around the NFL, I mean, Buffalo can pay Stephon Diggs. They're not paying Josh Allen anything. Patrick Mahomes, next couple of years. That's why that roster is stacked. Tom Brady, look at that roster. He's taking a pay cut. Whereas Green Bay can never quite find the money because Aaron takes the full boat. And listen, Dak, good deal. Cowboys, not that great of a deal. What Dallas is now banking on has never been a strength. What Dallas needs to happen over the next 3 years is crush the draft and get a bunch of third, fourth, fifth, sixth round guys that can really play. If you look at Dallas's history, the data points to they're very good with their first and second draft. They don't find many gems after that. In the last decade, they found one gem, Dak. That's it. There's teams like Seattle that have lived off that. Kansas City, the Colts, the Saints. They have just mopped up third, fourth, fifth. That's not Dallas's thing. Dallas tends to do very well on their first couple picks, which, by the way, most teams do. But they don't have a history of finding gems. Dak's the last gem. So, you know, these contracts, I as a fan, when I was... Now I'm more reporter and opinion guy, and I try to play it straight. But when I was a fan, I just wanted my team to be flexible. If a guy gets rich, I'm never going to meet him. He's never going to invite me to his house. I'm never going to drive in a car with him. He's never going to invite me on his vacation. I don't care if a guy gets rich. If he does, good. If he doesn't, fine. But I want flexibility. I don't think Cowboys have much flexibility. I think Mahomes' 12-year deal is much more malleable. They'll rework that thing multiple times. And you also have to be careful about, the cap is going up. It's not the way it works. I'll just give you an example without getting too boring and complicated. If we pay $1 billion at Fox for the NFL and we sign an 8 to 9, 10-year deal where the average salary is $2.2 billion, we don't pay $2.2 billion for a long time. It's called escalators. We'll pay $1.3 billion next year, then $1.5, then $1.7, then $1. By the time Dak's contract is done, that's when the big money pours in and the gambling money pours in. So, you know, the Cowboys are going to have to lean in on something they've not been great at, which is crushing the draft's third, fourth, and fifth and sixth rounds. That's not what they do. You know, the other thing is, and we just talked about this with Moose Johnson, is, you know, there is this feeling Dak is the best quarterback in the division. And this morning, I would agree with you. Daniel Jones, to me, I got to see about, let him play till Thanksgiving, and then I'll make the call. Jalen Hurts, give him the year, I'll make the call. Dak, I know what I'm getting, is the best quarterback. But Joy and I were talking about this morning. Washington, according to reports from Albert Breer, has been on every quarterback call. They were in on Matt Stafford. They're in on Deshaun Watson. They're in on Darnold. Washington is the most active team in terms of pursuing a quarterback, which means they're probably made calls on Garoppolo and Teddy Bridgewater. Let me ask you this. If Washington, with what I perceive as a better head coach, a significantly better defense, more franchise momentum, if they signed Deshaun Watson in a week, would you feel as good about the Dak Prescott contract? Then you wouldn't. So what's interesting this morning is I think Philadelphia is going to finish fourth. New York's going to have a puncher's chance at third. They're going to be a tough out. I think it's a Dallas-Washington division. I am fascinated by what Washington does at quarterback. Don't forget this. Alex Smith went 5-1 and wasn't healthy. Taylor Heinicke gave Tampa, that was a real game. I mean, Tampa rolled the Chiefs. They didn't roll Washington. So you're looking at a team, if I was just talking to a general manager this morning about this division, and he said, listen, if they get a quarterback that's competent and they shore up their secondary a little, he's like, you don't want any part of Washington. He goes, they got to get their secondary right. He goes, that defensive front, that front seven is loaded, and their offensive line's underrated, and their skill people are underrated. So, you know, with these, I was just looking this morning at the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's interesting when you start looking at them, where does, and I'll do this at the top of the hour, Mahomes, Dak, Deshaun, Russell, Aaron, Jared Goff, Cousins, Wentz, Ryan Tannehill. That's the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. But in terms of talent, where would you rank them? Because what you're trying to do in all these leagues, this is the way it works in all these leagues. I always say, pay big money very infrequently. But when you do pay great money, pay your great player. You just pay LeBron whatever it costs. You pay Steph whatever it costs. You know, in Milwaukee, you got to pay Giannis market, whatever it costs. Dallas has a recent history of paying everybody great money. Everybody sets a market record. None of those deals today in Dallas, none of them look like good deals. Now, I will say this. Dak, because he controls what's becoming a more offensive-driven league, Dak's deal, I think, in 4 years, it's not like I think you're going to just be like, God, I regret that thing. It's horrible. He's going to be productive. Let's be honest about Dak. He's productive. He's not winning a lot of games right now, but he's productive. But if you look at Dallas's history and the history of this league is Dallas's last six or seven big deals, there's not a single one I like. I liked Amari Cooper for about a year. But then when they went and got CeeDee Lamb, in fact, I can make the argument that CeeDee Lamb is the only player on the Cowboys roster they're getting value. Well, he's way better than his contract. That's not even negotiable. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is better than what he's getting paid now. I can make an argument. Everybody else on that roster is getting paid what they should or more than they should. I mean, you go look at Tampa, the Super Bowl team. They're getting a discount on Brady. They're not paying Gronk anything. They're not paying AB anything. I mean, frankly, they're not paying Shaq Barrett much. They didn't pay Ndamukong Suh much. I mean, they're getting discount. Tampa's getting discounts everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Dallas is getting discounts nowhere except CeeDee Lamb. So they better nail the draft for the next 2 years.
You guys like free agency in the NFL draft? Well, guess what? I have you covered. Three and Out. That's my podcast. Go subscribe right now. I'm John Middlecoff. Used to scout in the NFL. Now I talk about it. Coming up this week, Dak Prescott. Jerry Jones, is he nuts? Was that too much money? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, what does that mean for their future contracts? Also, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, dive into them all. Three and Out podcast. Go subscribe.
Here's the highest paid quarterbacks now in the NFL. and our television audience will see this, and I'll read it for our radio audience. Mahomes 1, Dak 2, Deshaun Watson 3, Russell Wilson 4, Aaron Rodgers 5, Jared Goff tied for 5, Kirk Cousins 7, Carson Wentz 8, Matt Ryan 9, and Ryan Tannehill 10. So I said, okay, let's take those 10. And who do I think are the most talented? Now, the top of this and the bottom are pretty easy. And then it gets really tight. But here's who I would say. This is my opinion, if you rank them, of the 10 highest paid quarterbacks, just on talent, what I've seen. Number one's the easiest one, Patrick Mahomes. He's perfect. Great arm, mobile, good kid, coachable, appreciative, grinder. There's no downside. He's got the highest passer rating in NFL history. he's the youngest quarterback to lead his team to multiple Super Bowl appearances. This is a once-in-a-generation player. Kansas City will never, ever get a quarterback that good. That will never happen again. That is Brady to New England. It happens once. Don't try to duplicate it. They're never going to be a six-round player like Tom Brady. That is Mahomes is number one easily. Number two, you can argue, I'd say Aaron Rodgers, who I think has the quickest release since Dan Marino. The ball comes out like a seed. It's incredible. He also led the NFL last year in virtually every statistical category. I may have issues sometimes. His personality's a little condescending or prickly. But in the end, again, you know how lucky Green Bay is to go from Favre to Rodgers? That's not the way it works. It's like when the Colts went Peyton Manning to Luck. That's not the way it works. Aaron's a remarkable talent. You cross your fingers. He's had a couple injuries. But he's got a good 4 or 5 years left. Number three, and it's close, I'd say Russell Wilson. To me, he's just a winner. It's not as artistic. It's not as beautiful as Aaron Rodgers. But he's been in the league 9 years. He's been to the playoffs 8. First quarterback in history with a winning record in his first 9 seasons. He's the ultimate playmaker. Go Hawks. He's pushed back a little in recent years. But I think if you look, Aaron Rodgers has had much better offensive lines on average. Russell's been running for his life for 5 years. So you could make an argument Russell's too because he's had to overcome more, which is bad protection. But these three, I don't have any argument with. And four, I think it's hard to argue too, would be Deshaun Watson. Listen, man, the guy led the NFL in passing yards. How? They traded DeAndre Hopkins. The offensive line was bad outside of left tackle. He's just a special player. I don't think he throws a football that's as pretty as Mahomes or as pretty as Aaron. I don't think, he went 4-12. He's not Russell Wilson in terms of, he just doesn't have losing seasons. But I think the first four, this is really not really arguable. You're just trying to be obnoxious to argue. Now we go to five. Now, I would put in Carson Wentz, and here's why. He had a bad year. But then I start looking at that nonsense in Philadelphia, and I think, okay, who would have won there? The other thing is Chris Ballard, the Colts GM, is one of the shrewdest guys in the NFL. He doesn't pay big money for anybody, and he went and got him. And that tells you Ballard's a pretty smart cookie. He doesn't want to pay big money. He's paying big money at quarterback now. By the way, Wentz was the first quarterback in league history that had over 20 touchdown passes, 7 or fewer interceptions his first 3 years in the league. That'd never been done. He is a raw talent. He had a bad year. It happened. Peyton Manning in year 4 had a bad year. It happens. Number 6, you're going to scoff at this, but we got to reboot how we think about Ryan Tannehill. Folks, not only is he a big, strong, mobile guy and had the second highest passer rating in the NFL since becoming a Titan, second to, like, Mahomes, right? The guy led the NFL last year with 6 fourth quarter and overtime game-winning drives. He's been a really clutch winning quarterback, and he's led his team to the playoffs. So he wins, he's clutch, his passer rating is good. You got to take those Adam Gase years out. I was never a fan of Tannehill. Never a fan. But what doesn't he do? He wins, he's clutch, he's mobile, he's productive. By all accounts, he stays out of the news. I'd put him at 6. Now we get tight. And you're not going to like 7. I'd put Matt Ryan. Folks, he's been an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. I know he's not much fun to watch. I would argue that. And this is inches, not feet. But he is, he has the most passing yards by any quarterback through the first decade of their career than anybody in NFL history. Matty Ice gives you the same numbers virtually every year. Atlanta's problem is their defense is horrific. He ain't the issue. So, now again, it gets close now. A lot of people prefer Dak. Dak's got one playoff win. Matty's been to a Super Bowl. And by the way, it's not like he's ever had, quote, a great coach. His coaches have always been fired. Dan Quinn got run. The other defensive guy he had before him got run. Mike Smith, I think. So it's not like he's had, you know, he had Kyle Shanahan as a coordinator, but I would put Matt Ryan 7. 8, I would put Dak. Dependable, doesn't throw the prettiest football, but he's only got one playoff win. So he has not been good in the last 2 years against winning teams and playoff teams. He doesn't have a lot of playoff pelt. But I think he's a leader. I think he's liked. I think despite that injury, he's durable. I think in the last couple of years, he's productive. There's just certain things. He's kind of the anti-Baker Mayfield, where I just kind of, he'll say the right stuff. You know, doesn't matter what the controversy is, the loss, the way, just put him at the podium. He'll just say the right thing. With Baker, if I own the Browns, I'd be crossing my fingers. So the other thing about Dak, he had the second highest passer rating by any quarterback in his first 5 years. So you generally get a very stable player at quarterback. Next is Jared Goff, who I had much higher years ago, but he's become a turnover machine. I don't think there's much to say here. I think he's going to regress because I don't think he has the coach now. So the offensive line won't be as good. The receivers won't be as good. The coach won't be as good. And I like Jaron more than everybody else. I always said he was Matt Ryan with a better deep ball. But over the last couple years, he has a turnover issue that you just can't deny. It's gotten bad, and the Rams moved off him. And number 10, not a shot, but I think Kirk Cousins has a very low ceiling. I think he's a nice guy. Yeah, he's productive, but he feels like he always shrinks to me in big games, where I don't think Dak does. I don't think Goff shrinks in big games. I saw Goff out-duel Patrick Mahomes in a big game. Goff, you know, he won a playoff game this past year in Seattle, all banged up. So Goff, to me, doesn't shrink in big games. He has a turnover problem. Kirk Cousins, I feel like if I really, in a big game, need him to carry us a little, I don't think it's capable. So I showed you the 10 highest-paid quarterbacks. The 10 most talented. And again, every Cowboy fan's going to argue on Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill. But at some point, I got an MVP with Ryan and a Super Bowl with Ryan. And Kirk Cousins last 2 years, he's been great. I mean, I don't get it. I never got it. Not a fan of the college. Not a fan of Miami. But at some point, you got to be honest about it. Sometimes you have to take an argument and reboot it and go, okay, this is the data. Tannehill's data the last 2 years is great. He's great late. He starts every game. He's mobile. He gets him to the playoffs. He beats good playoff teams. He, you know, he stays out of the news. There you go. So, again, ideally, you wouldn't want the 8th most talented quarterback to be the second highest paid. That's my takeaway. Ideally, you wouldn't want that. Dak's a little overpaid.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the greatest football coaches in my life dominated college football with the sorely missed Hurricanes. I miss when the Hurricanes are great, college football is good. Then he went to the Dallas Cowboys. And in the 32, 33 years Jerry's owned that team, they've been great once when Jimmy had all the football power. Since then, they've been good a few times. Right now, they made a splashy deal. Dak Prescott now $40 million a year, although this year they get a bit of a cap break. And Jimmy Johnson, Fox Sports, now joining us live, the Hall of Famer. So it's interesting. When Russell Wilson signed that big deal in Seattle, Jimmy, immediately John Snyder and Pete Carroll, they started accumulating draft picks. They knew we got to get a lot of players here that don't make a lot of money. When Aaron signed his deal, Green Bay started moving picks. If you ran the Cowboys today and the Jones family said, we just paid Dak $40 million on average three of the last 4 years, would you look at your number 10 pick and start making deals and try to get more picks?
You got to get some players cheap somehow, you know, because, you know, they've got half a dozen players that are eating up a lot of the cap. And, you know, so you've got to offset that with some players that are inexpensive. And the way you get inexpensive players is you got to draft well. You got to hit on your draft picks. Yeah, I think it's going to be critical for them to draft well if, you know, they're going to compete. Now, I think they can win the NFC East because you look at the East right now, really the only other quarterback that's proven, and he's not exactly proven, would be Jones with the Giants. Philadelphia's a mess right now. Washington, who knows? You know, they have, you know, no quarterback situation right now. And so Dallas can win the NFC East, but I don't know if they can go further than that.
Yeah. You know, it's I said last year, Cleveland had so much of their money on offense that their defense wasn't very good. Dallas has a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball. Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Dak, Zeke, Amari. I feel like Dallas now has to really, in the next couple drafts, Jimmy, they got to go heavy on defense. I mean, if you were told, here's what I'm paying my quarterback, would you go to your scouting department and say, we're going defense the next couple drafts?
Well, you say go defense, but, you know, if Dak's going to have success, they've got to shore up that offensive line. You know, they can't count on Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and all those guys being healthy because they weren't healthy this year. They've got the receivers. They've got as good a receiving core as there is in the league. But you don't know, is Ezekiel, is he going to be able to be successful with no offensive line? So I think they got to get him a couple of offensive linemen as well, just to ensure that what happened last year won't happen this year. But you're right. Other than that, you got to find some defensive players and you got to hit on them in the draft.
You know, when you were with Jerry Jones, was he as free spending? It seems to me as he's aged, he kind of got rolled in this. I mean, Dak got everything he wanted. Go back to your years with him. Was he as free spending then?
Yeah, Colin, we had our first Super Bowl, we had the lowest paid team in the entire league.
Wow.
Lowest paid team in the entire NFL. The reason for that is because, you know, it was the youngest team in the NFL. Both Super Bowls, we were the youngest team in the NFL. Well, if you have the youngest team in the NFL, they're not going to be paid a lot of money. That team wasn't built with free agents. It was built through the draft. And that's why they were good for a long period of time, because they were all young players. So he didn't have to spend much money then. We signed, you know, Troy to a contract, but, you know, please, that's piddling money compared to what they make nowadays. Really, it wasn't a problem back then.
There's a lot I like about Dak. I think if I ran a pro sports team, what I'd try to avoid is paying good players great money. I think he's a good player who just got a great contract. What do you like about Dak and what concerns you with all the times you've seen him?
I think he's a great leader for the team. I think the team really rallies around him. So he is a positive influence there. He can, you know, before the injury, he could make plays with his legs. You know, he could run the football. He fit into their system. He has had problems at times being inaccurate. But with that receiving core, you know, he gets people open. So I like Dak, and I'm kind of like you. I think he can win you a championship if he has great players around him. I don't think Dak can carry a football team if he doesn't have great players around him.
Yeah, he has struggled last couple of years against winning teams. Do you think second year with Mike McCarthy, go back to your career, you know, I mean, obviously Troy struggled first year, got better second, really, you know, by third year, you guys won a lot. Do you think it's an advantage getting Mike McCarthy and Dak in their second year? How much of a leap do you think that means?
I don't know that it's going to be a huge leap. And, you know, because, you know, he had his offensive coordinator and play caller that he's had for the last couple of years. There really wasn't a change there. So I don't know that McCarthy is going to make that big an influence on Dak and that team. You know, again, because it's not like he was going to a new system. They pretty well were doing what they did before McCarthy ever got there.
Yeah. When you look at, I mean, Dan Quinn is the new defensive coordinator. I think they'll be better. I think that's an upgrade. But let's be honest. I mean, when you look at that defensive personnel, Jalen Smith's a good player, but can I make the argument there's not a lot there?
No. DeMarcus Lawrence has got a big contract, and he's had some good years. Jalen Smith, you know, there are a lot of complaints about Smith last year because of being out of position. But I think their entire defense was out of position. They will be better. Like you say, Quinn will do a much better job with that defense. And plus having an offseason, you know, putting into the system that they are comfortable with. So they'll be better defensively. And that will help without question. But, you know, a concern that I have is like some of their key players were injured last year. Yeah. And once a player is starting to have injuries, the percentage of injuries goes up with that particular player. So there's no guarantee some of those key players are going to stay healthy. And, you know, you don't know about Ezekiel either. The career of a running back in this league normally doesn't last real long.
That's right.
And you start taking a bunch of shots, you know, those running backs start getting hurt. And so what's going to happen there? And so there's still a lot of questions on that football team. But if they do shore up the defense, they can be better. And like I said, they should win the NFC East.
Why do you think it took so long? I looked at the deal, and Dak got pretty much everything he wanted. I mean, they could have signed that a year ago. Why do you think they waited?
I think because they've got the same feeling that we've got is, you know, he's a very good player, but he's surrounded a couple of years ago, surrounded by some great players. That's when the offensive line was healthy. They had the receivers. Ezekiel had, you know, his best year, and you know, he struggled when some of those players got hurt. So, you know, they're looking at him and they say, hey, you know, he is a very good player. He's a great leader. He can win a championship as long as we have great players around him. But is he great? They paid him great money, though.
Yeah. Who was the first player? Because you really built the Cowboys up. They weren't squat before you got there. Who was the first player in the NFL that you paid big money to, that you agreed to, and did you sleep the next night? How did it land for you?
well, you say they weren't squat. Yeah, they were squat. Yeah, but they did have three straight losing seasons, and they were 3-13 before we got there. The first big contract we did, you know, was with Troy, and like I said, you know, his money, what, you know, in his career, I think what he made, $55 million or so. Well, you know, Zach's already made that.
Yeah.
Or Dak has, you know, and so he was the first big contract. But, you know, because you don't win this league if you don't have a quarterback. And I think that was the problem that Jerry had. He was a little bit between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
He knew that there's no way you're going to win unless you have a quality quarterback, hopefully a franchise quarterback. And so, you know, it was either, you know, not have a franchise quarterback and have no chance, or pay Dak what he wanted.
Yeah. You know, I will say, like, you knew when you paid Troy, and I feel this way with Dak, they're adults. You don't have to worry about them getting squirrely. Like, the one thing I'll say right about Dak is he's a grown-up. I mean, I know tomorrow he's the first guy in the facility.
A quality person all the way.
Yeah. The boy, it's just interesting. That's a – Jerry likes his deals. But he paid you pretty well. He paid you pretty well, didn't he?
Oh, please, please. Are you kidding me?
He didn't pay well?
I actually, you know, this is crazy. People don't understand this. This is crazy. You know, when I went to the Cowboys, Jerry said, well, hey, I'm going to give you a long-term contract. I'm going to give you a contract. He said, how much should we pay you? I said, just pay me what I made at Miami. I said, eventually I'll get my money. But I actually took the same money that I was making at University of Miami my first year. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a 10-year contract. Well, I said, well, you don't have to give me a 10-year contract. I'll be fine. You know, but he gave me a 10-year contract. Now, after, you know, the second year, when it's, you know, we showed progress, it looked like we were going to win a bunch of games. We redid the contract. We redid it three or four times, redid it all the way until I left. You know, we worked out the deal, and he paid me some money, but hey, please, I was making a couple of $1 million.
All right. Well, you're out in the Keys. You had to do pretty well with that thing. Maybe it's Fox.
Hey, Colin, I have made more money in the stock market than I ever made coaching. Really, what has allowed me to come to the Keys and do what I'm doing is because of the stock market, not because of coaching.
It is funny to look at those coaching salaries. They're big now, but you go back.
My wife Rhonda asked me the other day, she says, how much are these coaches making? And I said, you know, what some of them are making. She said, I knew you should have stayed in coaching.
That's funny. The legend, Hall of Famer Jimmy Johnson. Great seeing you, Coach. Thanks so much. You're a busy guy. Appreciate it.
All right, Colin. Talk to you.
All right. Take care.